My name is Kelly Reddy. I'm calling from Dorchester, Massachusetts.
Hi, my name is Jim Kincellen. I'm calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
My name is Celia Carrick. I'm calling from Sleepy Hollow, New York. I lost my job in 2012. I was 52.
I was laid off from my job a while ago. I'm 62.
Ageism, it doesn't seem to be as repulsive to people as other isms.
I just wonder what the unemployment rate is for people 50 and older who have been laid off.
I had to dip into my 401k to the tune of $20,000 last year.
This week, we talked about what it means to be an older worker in the United States and the financial hardships of losing a job when you're over 50. And as you just heard, many of you are continuing to call in to share your own experiences with age discrimination. Richard Johnson, an economist with the Urban Institute that I spoke to earlier this week, explained that the legal bar to prove age discrimination in the workplace is quite high.
What we know is that age discrimination is illegal, and yet it's very difficult to prove. And that's really the problem. And in fact, in 2009, the Supreme Court made it harder to prove because the Supreme Court said about 10 years ago that you can only prove discrimination if you can show that age is the only cause for you being laid off, for you not being hired, for your wages being cut.
So what are some of the feasible solutions for older workers who are experiencing discrimination in their workplace? Joining us to talk about it is Marcy Olberher, Vice President at Encore.org and author of the Encore Career Handbook. Marcy, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So this was a difficult conversation. We've heard from so many of our listeners across the country. Who really has the problem here? Is it the employer or the employee? I feel like it's the older employee, but you tell me.
Well, I think who's experiencing the problem is really anyone who's approaching midlife. And we often say 50 plus, but I think there are industries where people in their 40s are starting to feel outdated. Look in the tech sector, look in the entertainment industry,
in
look
media.
In the media.
In media,
right?
We've
seen it
that.
Around us. I am 52 myself, and I feel like my peers and anyone around me, I don't know anyone who's not worried, who's not nervous, and who's not thinking about how are they going to make it the next 15 or 20 years, which is what we all know is necessary because no one has the savings to keep us through these longer lives we're going to have.
And I wonder, like, what do we do? I mean, we talked about this on the show, older workers getting pushed out, 40 plus is really, you're supposed to be protected, but you're really not in a lot of instances. Should people be documenting things? Should they be looking for lawyers? Should they just leave? Like, what do they do?
So I'm not an expert on the legal side, and I'm glad you've been consulting the lawyers to give people that advice. But I do think, first of all, recognize that it's not you. So as you heard from all of these callers and the ProPublica article that sparked this whole discussion, really, again, we're all experiencing this right now. There is this shift to a much older than younger society that we are in right now. Already, we have more older people over 60 than we have under the age of 18, which is kind of a crazy thing. This is not an American issue. The data is similarly like this, tilting towards an aging society all over the world. I just listened to the BBC report this morning out of Japan. 40% of Japan's society will be pensioners. I think the date was 2040. So this is happening everywhere. So what we need is we need new systems to retrain people so that it becomes normal to go back to school or get retraining on the job. When you are mid-career, it is inconceivable to think that the training we all got when we were 20 is going to last for now what is a 30 to 50 year workforce. So this is a societal problem, not an individual problem.
So Marcy, I'm wondering, what are the benefits to having older employees in the workplace? We seem to have a corporate culture, and not, it's in media, it's across the board, you said this earlier, of younger is always better. I am sort of mid-career, if you will. I've been a younger employee, I've been an older employee. I think we need all ages. Why is that such a problem?
I love that you are the voice of this, Tanzina, and that's how you introduced this program. So my dream is that age diversity becomes a much bigger part of the bigger diversity conversation, and I see it starting to creep up a little bit. Imagine if we want people of all ages on a team so that we have all different perspectives and so that we can be connecting with all different markets when we're out there with our products, with our services, with whatever we're doing in the world. So I think we've seen there's lots of evidence that racially and ethnically mixed teams perform better, and there is increasing evidence that age-diverse teams do the same. But that storyline is nowhere.
It feels very much, based on the tone of the callers that we've heard, I know people who are starting to get worried about this as well, who are in their 40s, not even in their 50s. One thing that we're seeing is that there is research from the Ewing Marion Kaufman Foundation that, and also there's research here in New York from the Center for an Urban Future that shows that there are older Americans are actually becoming entrepreneurs, right? Is this a good thing? Is this a positive thing? And can everybody really afford to do that?
I think it's a good thing for people who are properly set up to do that. And what I mean is, entrepreneurship has risks. So we don't, it's not a parachute out of a situation. It requires sometimes some startup capital. It requires having an entrepreneurial nature. So what we found is a lot of people are interested in entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship, starting businesses that have a social aspect to them, that are really trying to solve a social problem at the same time. But it's not the answer for everyone. And we have to be careful to send everyone down that path. But people often are working for themselves in ways you wouldn't even think of as entrepreneurships. They're hanging out a shingle as consultants. They're doing something that's more like self-employment than entrepreneurship. But if you're in your 40s and your 50s, you have to handle health insurance. So there are a lot of startup costs that you have to really figure out how to manage. So it's not something to go into lightly. But it is a way that a lot of people are saying, well, maybe I can avoid the employer situation by being my own employer.
So what are some models that we've seen, that you've seen specifically, that can help 40-plus, 50-plus employees or workers, whether they're corporate
right.
employees or not, take into consideration as they start this next professional chapter of their lives?
Right. I think there's a few things I'd like to suggest that people think about on their own, and then things I'd love to suggest that organizations and employers think about. So on the individual side, you really have to adopt a constantly learning and skill-enhancing mindset. So you really have to think, what have I learned new this year? Where do I see my field going, or where do I see an opportunity to grow and learn? So to think like, wow, I can always adopt new skills. Often there's opportunities nearby, either if you're employed, what is your employer offering? Could you use something like LinkedIn Learning to quickly brush up on some tech skill that you need? Community colleges are an amazing resource. See what's going on in career development at your local community college, because often that's linked to where the jobs are in the area where you live. And look at where the jobs are. Healthcare is number one in every survey. And this doesn't mean becoming a doctor. There are all kinds of medical assistant roles. Physical therapists are in high need. The longevity economy is doing one other thing. It's creating a whole new category of jobs. What are we doing to keep people in their homes? What are we doing? Caregiving is exploding, and there are many, many needs for all kinds of nurses, caregivers. So look to where the needs are and what opportunities there are to train and work on your own aptitudes, what's interesting to you.
And don't give up, right?
Don't give up. We always hear of stories of people find something if they keep trying, but let's not put it all on the individual. We need some bigger societal solutions here.
Marcy Alboer is vice president at Encore.org and the author of the Encore Career Handbook. Marcy, thanks again.
Thanks, Tanzina.
And that's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.